1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And 1 Peter ends with a final greeting after that. We've looked at those last verses months ago. I want to focus on verses 8 through 11 this morning. Well, I would assume that you know that yesterday, neighborhoods throughout our nation celebrated Halloween. Children were dressed up in costume and going from door to door saying trick or treat. Remember those days? Some of you still go, right? I must say this year was far fewer, at least in my neighborhood. We saw just a handful of kids walking around. But normally, Halloween is a big celebration in the United States. In fact, it is the second most merchandised holiday in our land, only second to Christmas. Adults as well celebrate Halloween. It's a big adult holiday, especially when it lands on a Saturday night. A friend of my son's was actually invited to the White House Halloween party, and he was excited to dress up his little toddler and go off to see the president and see the White House. He was really interested in taking a tour of that SUV that's a part of the presidential convoy, and that when you open the top, a Gatling gun comes out, and it's a huge gun. And wherever the president goes, it goes. Well, 58 years ago this week, I was supposed to be born on November 2nd. And in Latin America and in much of the world, November 2nd is actually the Day of the Dead. And my mother then did everything possible to keep me from being born on the Day of the Dead. And just minutes after midnight, I was born. I was born on November 3rd. And it promises to be a happy birthday depending on who wins the election. It could be a very happy birthday. It could be a sorrowful birthday come November 3rd for me. Call me around midnight and I'll let you know how it went. Well, I'm just kidding. Don't. This time of year certainly does fill our streets with gory monsters and oversized spiders, inflatable Frankensteins on our lawns, cobwebs on our hedges, jack-o'-lanterns on our doorsteps. And it's interesting, some of them are really well done. But you've also noticed, I'm sure, that many of the homes are decorated with witches and ghouls and demons and blood, gore, and devils. I think that the devil has become, in our culture, a plaything. I don't know that we actually grasp the reality of Satan and the power that he has. Neither do we grasp how ferocious, how mean, how volatile he is, and his determination to actually destroy people, to destroy lives. That's what he wants to do. And as we see here in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 8, we see the devil's ability. Now, I know we've talked on this a few weeks ago, but I want to speak more thoroughly on the topic. The devil's ability. And it begins in the context of verse 6. You'll recall there, as I just read to you earlier, it says, be humble. Verse 7 says, cast all your cares onto God. That's what we looked at last week. And now verse 8. Verse 8 tells us to be sober-minded and to be watchful. Be sober-minded and be watchful. To be sober-minded means that you are free from illusion. We all want to be free from illusion, right? Be free from illusion. Sometimes we delve into illusion. We come up with our own ideas as to who the devil is and what he does. Peter says, be free from those illusions. Be free from the intoxicating influence of sin. And be watchful. Literally, he is saying, stay awake. Stay not physically awake, but spiritually awake. I say stay physically awake right now, and stay spiritually awake. That's what Peter's telling us to do. Be spiritually alert. We do tend to fall into spiritual trances. We forget that there is a spiritual world out there and a spiritual reality. Now, as you well know, a few of us here are Latino, and in the Latino world, there is a lot of influence by the spirit world. In the Anglo world, you don't see so much of it. It's there, it's just not as obvious. People don't tend to dabble in it intentionally. In the world, Latin America and other cultures, it is very prevalent and very potent. I'm glad that we don't dabble in it. But because we don't see it, we tend to forget that it actually exists. We are much more engrossed in what is physical, what is tangible. And because we are engrossed in what we can see and touch, we forget that there is actually there a very, very potent spiritual world that surrounds us, that is constantly impacting us. In fact, look, between the physical and the spiritual world, it is the spiritual world that's going to have the greatest impact in your life and the longest lasting ramifications. Not the physical. The physical is immediate, but it is the spiritual that will be long lasting and some rather severe ramifications. And so Peter says, be vigilant, stay alert, be awake. And then he explains why. He describes here the devil's ability in our world and even in our lives. And notice here in verse 8, he does so. He gives us this description in the form of a warning. A warning. It says, we each here have a personal adversary. Notice Peter's words. He does not say our. He says, your adversary. It's a very personal adversary. Now, Superman contended against Kryptonite. Spider-Man contended against the Juggernaut. But the Christian contends against the greatest foe of all, and he's not a comic strip. It is the devil. He's not folklore. The devil is not a part of mythology. He is not an urban legend. The devil is Lucifer himself, an actual spiritual demonic entity from the angelic realm. Don't forget that. The devil and his minions, we call them demons. And there's thousands upon thousands of them. Here we're told that they are your adversary. Your adversary. The adversary of every Christian. Notice here Peter is not speaking to people who are not coming to church. He is speaking to people who are in Christ. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Those are frightening words. Satan is prowling around right now looking to see who will be his next prey. Satan is not looking to simply poke you in the eye or to push you around. He's not looking to just make you stumble or to just tempt you. Here, we're told he's looking to devour you. He is like a roaring lion, ready to pounce, ready to consume. In other words, he wants to overwhelm you and demolish you. He's like a roaring lion ready to take you over. Now, the name devil means accuser, a slanderer, a false accuser. It's a key tactic that the devil uses. You know, he's got a quiver filled with poisonous arrows. And the quiver is not very full. There's just a few tactics that he has used perpetually, but they all work very well. He doesn't add to his quiver because the arrows he has are very, very effective. The name devil means accuser, false accuser, somebody who will slander you. And you might think to yourself, well, that's not so bad. I've been slandered before and I survived. People have made false accusations against me and I'm still standing. Well, please understand that when the devil's called the accuser, he comes along in order to not only accuse you and blacken your name, he actually wants to injure you. He wants to condemn you. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to sever relationships. And he's very good at it. He wants to sever your relationship with yourself. He wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to live every day disgruntled with yourself. He wants to sever relationships between friends. Oh, he smiles. He wants to sever relationships between you and your spouse. Oh, he glories in that. He wants to especially destroy your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And you may think back and say, well, of course those aren't good things, but it could be worse. Those don't seem to be so poisonous. Well, think back at how successful he has been. Count the broken relationships of your past and measure the degree of injury that he has caused. Think back a little at those relationships that have been broken. As the devil has come and taken advantage in your life, in your home, remember, he prowls around ready to pounce and devour. Remember the tears. Remember the resentment that came as a result of that broken relationship. Remember the words that were spoken and could not be taken back. Remember the words that you heard with your own ears and they devastated you, severing that relationship. Remember the shattered dreams and the broken hearts. Remember the guilt and the regret. And now tell me, is that arrow poisonous or not? The devil prowls around like a roaring, ferocious lion seeking someone to devour. However, most of us are not really afraid of the devil. I realize that. It's not that we would actually want to get into a wrestling match with the devil. It's more that we think of the devil being more like a folklore. Like the big bad wolf. Oh, what big ears you have, Grandma. The better to hear you, my dear. Oh, what big eyes you have, Grandma. The better to see you, my dear. And we think and say, well, you know, the Bible gives us a good moral story. Be careful, be careful. But we don't think of the devil as being actual, as being real. And most people, even Christians, would say, well, I know he's there, but I'm really not convinced that he's going to come around my way. He's over there. He's not here. He's over there. Notice Peter saying, your adversary, the devil. He's there. And you know where he would be most? Where Christians gather. He's not concerned about the people next door that are just getting out of bed. He's concerned over you because you are in God's house. You are worshiping the Lord. You are looking to grow in Christ. And he becomes your adversary today. I think we are more afraid of God than we are of the devil. And when I say afraid of God, I'm not talking about a reverential fear of God. I'm speaking about a fear that God is going to steal my pleasure. A fear that says, oh, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid that he's going to steal my time. That God is going to take away my independence. That God, if I'm too serious about this Jesus Christ, he's going to take away my money. I'm afraid of him. And what makes it even worse is that he's going to replace all that good stuff with the drudgery of a righteous life. Oh, I don't want that. I just want enough of Jesus to know that he's on my side and to secure eternity. I don't mind getting to heaven through the back door. You see, I think we're afraid more of God than we are of the devil. The song says, only the good die young, right? I think a lot of us believe that. I don't want to die young. I want to live long, even if it means I don't pursue righteousness. We would rather wallow freely in the mud than to be confined in the palace of God. That's frightening. We certainly do fear the rule of God over our lives more than we fear Satan's seizure of our lives. Meanwhile, what's the devil doing? Oh, he's smiling. He's got a big smile and he's licking his chops. He's biting your marriage. He's biting your peace. He's taking bites at your relationships. He's chewing away at your innocence. He is eating up your conscience. He's chewing on your happiness. Devouring you as your life sinks into a sadder place. And whenever we are sad, we become selfish. And whenever we become selfish, we become regretful. It's just the way it is. Especially when we're exposed to the Word of God. Regret will always set in. We find ourselves struggling more against God than we do against the devil himself. And that's why Peter cautions us, beware, beware, the devil is prowling around ready to devour you. He's your adversary. I think these are the most frightening words I've said all year. Where does the devil come from? Well, just for the record, let's touch on that. The origins of the devil. You know, the devil has various names. The one that is most common, of course, is Satan. Satan means adversary. And we've seen already that he is just that. But at times he's referred to as Lucifer, which means light bearer or angel of light. Sometimes he's referred to as Beelzebub or the prince of the power of the air. If you look up at Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, in the Hebrew, he's called Abaddon, or in the Greek, Apollyon, which means destroyer. He is the destroyer, the angel from the bottomless pit, Revelation 9 tells us. He is the accuser. He is the father of lies. He is the Antichrist. He is Satan, the adversary. Now you'll notice that all these names here describe an evil, vile, dastardly devil with various traits that is looking to simply oppose you and destroy you. Where does he come from? Well, understand that the devil is not simply an idea or a force. The devil is a person. In other words, he has personhood. He's not a physical person, but he has personhood. He is a person, a spiritual person who has fallen from the angelic realm. That's what the Bible describes. And in two particular texts in the Old Testament, we see the story of the devil. The first one, Isaiah 14, was read to us. When you go home, not when it's too dark, read Ezekiel 28. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus Christ said that he was there when Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Now, we don't know when in terms of history did this happen, in terms of what time period, but obviously it was before Adam and Eve sinned, for Lucifer was already existent and ready and able to tempt Eve, and we know the outcome. Now, you'll notice that what Lucifer did was not say, I am greater than God. He said, I am like God. He equated himself with God. And I point this out because isn't that what our culture is saying today about ourselves? We have dismissed God and said, we are our own gods. And notice here how God responded to Lucifer. Should we expect God to be more merciful to this world for equating ourselves to God? And in a process of equating himself to God, he is cast out of heaven and he takes with him one third of the angelic world, which means thousands upon thousands of fallen angels. We refer to them as demons. And now Lucifer leads a spiritual world, a spiritual kingdom composed of these angelic fallen angels, demons. And not only does he have demons with him, but he tries to rally as many people as possible, to his side for his agenda. He possesses great power. And what he does from day to day, from hour to hour, minute to minute, is this. He seeks to oppose the purposes of God in your life. And he knows that if he can do that to you, 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 and you, together he will oppose the purposes of God's church. And how successful he has been. Sometimes he does that very, very overtly. It's very obvious. But usually he works very subtly, very slowly. He figures, hey, all I have is time. He's had thousands of years now, little by little, soul by soul, just eat them up. Yum, 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 eat them up. His job is to keep Christians ineffective, to make sure that you are defeated. He also shuts the ears of the unbelievers to the gospel. And he constantly feeds us lies, one lie after the other. At times, he even possesses people and controls them, those who ignore Christ. Now, the image of the red goatee devil with a horns and a tail, that was actually designed as a mockery of the devil. Back, I believe it was in the 1700s, it was a religious pamphlet designed to make mockery of the devil. And today, it has actually become our image of what he is like. It's a celebrated image. But please understand that there is a cosmic spiritual battle going on today, and it does involve you. The devil is actively prowling around looking for who he's going to attack next. He lies to you daily. He seeks to win your heart with every hour. He lures, he connives, he tempts, he accuses and opposes, oppresses continuously, routinely. He incites apostasy, he inflicts people, and he even possesses people. And though he is not omnipotent or omnipresent, the devil's power is great, and his demons are many. And to me, this is what makes Halloween so unsavory. And I'm just speaking for myself. It's what makes Halloween so unsavory. I'm all for the candy, any candy except for those little triangular orange ones. I'm all for those costumes. Some of them are really creative and really neat. But the spiritual underpinnings and certain celebrations of Halloween makes it so objectionable to me. Because it just invites the things of Satan. Today, the church of Satan continues to grow. Very quietly. It continues to grow. And the Satanic Bible is still a very big seller 51 years after it was written. Dr. James Phillips reports in 2018, 2 years ago, from Oxford University. He writes this: Satanism is the fastest growing religion in the UK? No. In Africa? No. In Latin America? No. Satanism is the fastest growing religion in the United States of America. He goes on to say that now chances are as high as 1 in 10 that your next door neighbor is a Satanist. Chelsea Clinton, not to disparage the Clinton legacy anymore, but she did say this back in 2018, said, "Satanism is a religion that deserves respect," she tweeted out. My friends, don't underestimate the power of Satan or the spread of Satanism. Don't underestimate the ability of the devil or his willingness to inflict harm even in your soul. But there is good news in these verses. Look at verses 9 and 10. Not only do we see the devil's ability, but look at the Christian's ability. Look at the Christian's ability. Verses 9 and 10. It begins with what? Resist the devil. Resist the devil. How? By being firm in your faith. By firm, Peter's saying, free from the intoxicating influences of sin. Stay firm. How? By remaining vigilant. Be watchful. Stay awake. By continuing to believe, feeding your faith so that your faith will grow, 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 and grow. Don't ever say, my faith has grown enough. Because the day you say that, your faith begins to diminish. Resist the devil. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That simple. Resist him. Resist them by staying firm. That's what you can do, my friends. That's the ability of the Christian. You can, in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, resist the devil. And you need to. Not only that, but you can also gain understanding. That same verse. Gain understanding. Gain understanding that you are not alone in whatever suffering you are experiencing. Understand that. The church today is facing the same sufferings worldwide and even history-wide. And here's the point. It's not just knowing that you're not alone in suffering. You know, I always appreciate when people say, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm thinking of you. That's very kind. But at the end of the day, it really does not change my plight, does it? It does not help me at all if you're thinking of me. It's very kind, though. The beauty here is not that I don't suffer alone. The beauty here is that just as Christ is with the rest of the church worldwide and history-wide, so he is with you when you face your sufferings. Understand that. He is with you. Look at verse 10. Gain understanding that your suffering is temporary. Now you may be thinking, temporary? It's been years. This doesn't go away. But look, in comparison to eternity, this is temporary. This too will end. It will end. And God will see you through. So you see, that's the ability of the Christian. You can resist. You can gain understanding. But there's one more there. Look at verse 10. The God of all grace, we read there. This is what else you can do and need to do. You need to expose yourself to God's grace. Expose yourself to His grace. Go to where His grace is being given out. Young men, flee from youthful lust. Why? Because you're not going to find God's grace there. Old men too, by the way. Go to where God's grace is being handed out. Worship the Lord your God. You'll find grace there. Sustaining grace. Drink from His Word. Why? You'll find His grace. His sustaining grace. Soak yourself in prayer. Know your God. Speak to your God. You will find grace there. Because these are each like an open window that allows the grace of God to come like a rush of wind. Come and just fill your soul. Go to where God's grace is being extended. There you're going to find sustenance. There you'll find that anxiety will melt away when you are soaking yourself with the grace of God. This we can do. And if we can, we must. Amen? You'll notice there, verse 11. Notice there that there's also listed here the ability of our God. The ability of our God. Actually, verse 10, go backwards a little to verse 10. The God of grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, we spoke a lot about Satan. Let me be clear here. There is going to be one day in which Satan will be overcome by God himself. He will be bound. Eventually, he will be condemned, and he will be condemned for eternity. Go over to your last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Revelation 14. Look at verses 9 and 10. Look at what we read there. Revelation 14, 9 and 10. If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, pour it full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. There we have a description of what will happen to all those who oppose God and follow the Antichrist. And what will happen to him as well. It's not a pretty sight. It's not kind. It's not laden with mercy, but it is laden with justice. And God is just. And just as he loves his own, he hates sin. And this will be the outcome. Now go over to chapter 20, Revelation 20. And verse 10. And there you will see the destiny of the devil himself and how he will be in the midst of that same agony as we read in chapter 14. Revelation 20:10. And the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the destiny of the devil. It's an everlasting death. It's a constant dying. But there's no death to actually relieve the pain. Here in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 10, we see, in contrast to the opposition of the devil, look at what God will do for you. This is the ability of God. First of all, notice there he says that God will restore you. He will make you complete. In other words, he will put your life back into order. He will restore you. Not only will he restore you, but he will confirm you. That is to say that he will support you. He will make you ready. And number 3, he will strengthen you. He will give you the might, the energy, the ability necessary. He will strengthen you. And number 4, the ability of God, he will establish you. He will make you steadfast by laying down for you the proper foundation. Your life is only as good as the foundation you lay. It is only as stable as the foundation you lay. And God said, I will be your foundation. I will establish you. And then Peter writes in verse 11, to him be power forever and ever. Amen. You see here the everlasting dominion of God over his creation. Forever and ever, he will rule over his creation. He will rule over things that are seen and unseen. He will rule and does rule over powers and principalities. He rules over persons and even the laws of nature. That is the ability of our God. That's why we're here worshiping him today, because of his ability. This is our God, and this is not only what he can do, this is what he does. And this is what he will do. Wise is the person who seeks after the God who can do and will do these things with heart, soul, and mind. Take courage, be wise, and seek after this Lord. Our Lord and Savior, how good it is to know that you call us to yourself and you alone are our protector. Amen.